Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a message from Heritage Foods USA. In the next few weeks, Heritage Foods USA will be offering an interesting variety of amazing products, ranging from top quality seafood to their famous pork cuts. At the end of May, the Heritage team will go up to Maine to harvest fresh lobster with sustainable lobstermen. These delicious lobster are a perfect way to kick off the summer season. In the pork department, Heritage Foods USA will offer the maple-cured smoked boneless Heritage ham at an unbeatable price. This offer won't last long, so get them while you can. Place your order today at heritagefoodsusa.com or call 718-389-0985. That's 718-389-0985 to place your order with Andrea or Ashley. And don't forget to sign up for the email list and to check them on Facebook and Twitter to get in on their new products, deals, and offers from Heritage Foods USA.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show. Spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, America's last best hope to make the internet safe for absolutely no one. Two people who will do pretty much anything for a pizza. Your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
All right, here we are, the Mike and Judy Show. Show number one, I'm Mike Edison. I'm here with the woman who truly is too hot for television, Judy McGuire.
Yes, that's me.
Howdy, Judy. And our equally luscious guest, Lux Alptram, who's the editor of Fleshbot.com.
Hello.
Howdy, Lux. And we're going to talk about, among other things, National Masturbation Month, a joyous occasion for all of us. But before we get there, I need to express a little concern. This is our very first show. I'm already worried that it might be our last. What with the rapture and the end of the world coming up. I think it's happening May 21st, the end of the world as we know it. And we have 3 months, actually, till the world is consumed by fire.
I didn't realize the fire thing. I thought they just sucked all the good people up next Saturday.
Yeah, the spaceships come, and those of who have been saved get to go off with the spaceships. But then the rest of us have to suffer through the revelation. It's Judgment Day, actually, is what's happening. And the end of the world will be in October. Something to look forward to.
I guess it is before Halloween.
Now, I know before it'll be right before Halloween. October 21st, I think, is the date. But you good Christians can check your calendars on that, when the earth will be destroyed by fire. If we don't make it to next week's show, it's been nice knowing you kids.
That's a hell of an intro for our first and last show.
It's awesome.
That was really great.
You know, I was on the way over here, I was taking a little stock of the sins, and by someone's yardstick, maybe not mine, I am definitely going to hell.
I think that we all are.
Yeah, so
I don't know Lux well, but I suspect she's hell.
Well, I'm Jewish, so.
You guys don't have hell, do you?
No.
Not in the conventional sense.
But in the evangelical sense, I'm definitely going to hell.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I thought we'd run down some of my favorite sins. These are a few of my favorite things. And see how we're all doing. I mean, Judy, before you were saying you thought anger got a bad rap.
I am a fan of anger. I think that it can be used effectively, and I think it's... People are too feel-good these days, and I like to hang on to my anger.
I think it's good.
I think you can have righteous anger, which is clearly not a sin if it's righteous.
Righteous indignation. You know, and this is coming from an angry God who lays this shit down. Now, I'd like to just go on record. I'd like to say that my favorite sins are, maybe not in this order, but lust, sloth, and gluttony.
I love sloth.
Sloth is awesome.
Being a freelancer, it is my friend.
And gluttony?
I'm here for a pizza.
Exactly. And lust. And, you know, lust, as when I did my research for today's show, I find out that, you know, lust is what it really is. It's no self-control. That's really what it's all about, which I guess brings us right into the putative topic of today's show, National Masturbation Month. Happy National Masturbation Month to you ladies.
Thank you.
Happy
you
National
too.
Masturbation Month to you as well.
And how are we celebrating?
Well, I had a therapist once who I quit right after this. He called masturbation the lonely sin.
What?
Because the paintings of bishops in his office weren't enough of a tell.
Okay, so you went to a therapist that had, like, Catholic iconography in his office?
I thought it was a borrowed office. And then he stalked me. He was really weird.
Okay, this is a bad therapist.
He didn't fix me.
And Lux, how are you celebrating? How are we celebrating on Fleshbot?
I mean, well, we did a post to provide inspiration for all the celebrants of the month. I mean, for me, you know, National Masturbation Month is kind of like a dirtier version of Mother's Day in the sense that, you know, I love my mother every day. Mother's Day is not that special. I masturbate every month. National Masturbation Month is just sort of a time to talk about it a little more.
I would agree with that. Every month is pretty much national.
Isn't every day National Masturbation Day?
Well, I mean, okay, unless it's an off day, yeah.
Do you find yourself getting immune to hotness looking at it all the time?
I get asked this a lot, and my standard answer is that the act of simply seeing someone naked is not suddenly titillating in the way that, like, in older, more repressed times, just seeing someone's ankle is, like, titillating. So, like, yeah, seeing boobs is not automatically titillating for me. However, if I'm really attracted to someone or if it's, like, porn that's really hot, then, yeah, I'm definitely going to get turned on. Like, if it's something I like, it will still do it for me. I can keep it in control. And I don't go, like, crazy when I'm working.
Unlike that woman who just got permission to masturbate at work.
Yeah, I mean, good for her. But
you have special dispensation for that?
I think it was Spain.
She had some medical condition. I didn't read the full deal. Yeah, but
every dude I know has that same condition.
Yeah. But it's different when it's a lady.
I see. I'll tell you what, though. A nice ankle will do wonders for me. You know, sometimes if you forgot, hey, the sun comes up in the morning and I'm ready to go. That's all. I mean, this is what guys
like,
are.
We're, I like that we're, line we're hardwired. Right here on guys.
That's a nice line.
Yeah. Okay, we're not on television. You're too hot for television. Yeah. That line right there on guys.
But no, like around the pelvic bone.
Right, the
like,
goody pointer.
Right
something.
Above the hip bone.
The yeah. goody pointer?
Well, it points down.
All right, that's good.
I was thinking of the goody trail, you know.
Well, you know, I think, you know, I mean, women have kind of a better deal with this whole masturbation thing because you sort of, speaking of special dispensation, it's okay for you guys to use toys. This seems to be very accepted behavior, but I think guys, you know, if any guy wanted to use a foreign object, get some dirty looks from...
I'm surprised that you're so uptight and don't know about this, Mike. Lux, yeah. Can you share a few?
I think that
historically, it's male masturbation has been seen as like, oh, why would you use a toy? You can just use your hand, and if you need to use a toy, then there's something wrong with you. I think that is historically been kind of how it's been, but that is totally changing, and there are some really, really cool male sex toys that aren't creepy that are on the market. Like, I mean, the kind of pioneer and, as they say in their tagline, the world's best-selling male sex toy is the Fleshlight, which...
I think it's creepy.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not putting my thing in there.
I've heard... Okay, but that's kind of like the pioneer, and it's like the oversized flashlight-looking thing, and it has some sort of orifice. And sometimes it's like a molded porn star orifice. And I like those ones because the porn stars get royalties on them.
Yeah, that's good.
So, like, I have a lot of friends who that's how one of the ways they make money is by having their branded Fleshlight. But I was saying, Fleshlight's like the pioneer. Hmm. But you're seeing more refined products. Like, there's now this Japanese product that's been distributed in the U.S. It's the Tenga cup. There's, like, the Tenga flip
the little egg one.
Well, there's a couple. There's the little egg, which is, like, a little plastic egg, and you open up, and it's a masturbation sleeve. But they also have ones that are more akin to the Fleshlight. There's one. It looks like if Steve Jobs designed a masturbation sleeve. And it's, like, this, like, clear white thing, clear tube with white buttons and a clear gel. Ooh. That's textured inside, and it flips open for easy cleaning. And they have the Tenga flip hole, and they have the Tenga air, which is like if you cross the masturbation sleeve with a Reebok pump. Yeah, remember that?
The Japanese do everything better.
Yeah, and so I mean, I think it's I feel like male sex toys now are kind of where lady sex toys were in the mid-90s. Right. Where there's a lot of, like, crappy ones, and there are some people starting to be like, wait a minute, if we do stuff that's well-designed and well-made, we can make a lot of money.
Now, what's this egg thing you're talking about?
It's this. It's like, you remember the leg eggs, but instead of a pair of pantyhose inside, there's this, I guess it's, I don't know what material it is. It's sort of like
jelly rubber or something.
Jelly rubber thing that you can pleasure yourself into. It's like a little sleeve, and I got my boyfriend one for Christmas, and I put all our Christmas bag presents for my family in these bags and brought it to my dad's house. And then when my boyfriend opened his presents on Christmas morning, I was like, where's the egg? And he's like, I don't know where the egg is. And I was like, oh shit, I left it at my dad's house. My dad called me the next day, and he goes, were all the presents in the bag with Santa on it from you? I was like, I don't know. I have to go right now. But then I was positive I left the wank egg at my dad's house. But luckily, I just cleaned under the bed and I found it. But for, you know, since Christmas, I've been horrified to talk to my dad. I hoped he wouldn't know what it was for.
I mean, it says like Ona egg or something. Like, because they have like the Tenga Ona cup and like, it's all like onanism. It doesn't say like insert dick here.
I'm sure he probably would have thought it was for my niece.
Like, I have to say, it's very progressive of you to buy your boyfriend a masturbation tool.
Well, why not?
I mean, I,
because he's gonna do it anyway, right? Is that the idea?
I mean, I don't buy them because I get them for free. Sure.
Well, perk was at fleshbot.com.
I've given male partners sex toys because I need someone to test them out.
Yeah, I've given so many girlfriends vibrators. Not like girls I was dating because I'm straight, but I have so many girlfriends who've never tried a vibrator.
That's so sad.
It is. It's like the first time I tried one, I was like, oh my god, this is so much easier.
Than having to talk to your boyfriend, who you've now given like a plastic egg cup to. This is a bad road to travel.
This is like Logan's Run.
Well, you know, back in the day, I used to review porn movies. Reviewed many, many porn movies, and that was one of the perquisites I got working for Screw. Yeah. So I'd have like stacks and stacks of DVDs and VHS tapes when it was time, and I'd always give them away. And guys love free porn.
Yeah,
they love like real free porn. And
guys like free everything. Their favorite T-shirt is the free T-shirt.
And free beer always tastes better.
Yeah,
than beer, no matter what, no matter how much money you got in your pocket, a free beer is always gonna be better. Although honestly, there was a point in my life, a real tipping point, when I decided I didn't like open bars because I don't like waiting in line. I don't like the kind of people they attract. I'd rather pay and not wait in line.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I had piles and piles of free pornography, and of course, you know, guys are gung ho for it. The married guys, more so than the single guys, of course.
Do women still get pissed off that their boyfriends or husbands masturbate? I mean,
apparently. I find it very weird, but I like see stories on the lady mags about shit like this.
Well, you know, like that it's like cheating.
All the guys that I knew that I gave pornography to, I always reminded them, you know, don't pass out with the disc in the DVD player. Because that's how you get busted, right? They're not going to find your secret stash. You always get busted by leaving it in the player. And they're like, yeah, my wife's cool with it. But what's really going to happen is she's going to be cool with it, but she's going to make fun of you mercilessly. And that's so much worse than her being mad.
Well, especially if it's like plushy porn or something.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of don't want to know that about somebody.
So, Lux, I'm guessing that Fleshbot has a lot of women reading the site.
I would say more than most porn-type sites. We have... I mean, it's hard to tell demographics for a variety of reasons, but I'd say it's majority male, but we do have a strong female readership.
Well, can you describe Fleshbot for those people who haven't
Listened? Fleshbot is one of the web's biggest sites about adult entertainment and everything sexy. We get labeled a porn site, but I like to think we're so much more than that, because it's just kind of a guide to all sorts of erotic material. And sometimes that's clips from Game of Thrones. And sometimes that's erotic stories. And sometimes that's DVD reviews. And sometimes it's like amateur porn clips. And one of the things that makes us very different from everybody else is that we cover both straight and gay and whatever falls in between material.
I love Fleshpot. I think it's a great site. I think it's very positive. I think what sets it apart from a lot of sites is that it's very sex positive. There's no weird shame. You're not talking down to your readers. There's a lot of fun involved in it.
And it's also just having gay and straight porn on the same site is unusual.
Yeah, I like to say that one of the occupational hazards that I have in the research that I have to do in order to write my site is extreme exposure to misogyny.
Yeah.
Because you go, I don't even want to name the sites, but there's like a lot of sites that do like sexy celebrity photos that I'll pull stuff from, and the writing is just like so mean and so gross.
Yeah.
And I try to like take the same material and repackage it in a much friendlier way.
It's very true, and unfortunately male generated porn does go that way more often than not. And that was sort of if you just look at Hustler, especially when it started, I mean, yes, the women were treated as whores, which is ironic in the sense that they were also put up on a pedestal as well, and that the women were being empowered to the men. Let's talk about that a little more. We have a sponsor trap. Judy, you wanted to play a song for us.
That's right. Today's song is dedicated to masturbation. It's called Rock My World. It's by Betty Blowtorch. It's about waiting around for your boyfriend to come over, and then he's too late, so you have to take care of yourself. And it's from our sponsor is Main Drag Music on 330 Wythe, or you can go to Bushwick Supply at 268 Messerol. This way you don't have to frequent places, horrible places like Guitar Center.
All right, Jack, you got the music?
Check out an all-girl rock show. I picked you up and said, hey baby, let's go. Well, I'm not trying to put you down. You were the foxiest guy hanging around, round, round. You really rock!
This is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Tuesday at noon, Dave Arnold, the author of CookingIssues.com, will discuss new and innovative techniques, equipment, and ingredients. Call in with your own questions to see if Dave and the crew can solve your cooking issues. Again, that's Tuesdays at noon on the Heritage Radio Network.
All right, and we're back here at the Mike and Judy Show. This is Mike Edison with my co-hostess with the mostest, Judy McGuire, and our guest, Lux Albtraum, the editor of Fleshbot.com. And I got to tell you, there are a few things in life as pleasurable as listening to you two women talk about masturbation.
Well, I'm about to ruin that pleasure for you, because I'm going to tell you about a few animals that also are versed in self-pleasuring.
So you mean... This doesn't separate me from the animals.
Probably puts you right down there in the pen with them.
When I thought self-exploration was surely the path to a divine consciousness.
Goats and bonobos have been known to autofillate.
Well, why did dogs lick their own balls?
Because they can. A moose can ejaculate after simply brushing its antlers along vegetation, which is that. I mean, that's a. That's a good trick.
A teenage moose or like all meese moose is?
I think just male moose. Moose eye. I don't know. Let's see. Some animals do use sex toys, like ferrets use a stone if they have one. Female porcupines make dildos out of sticks, and so do orangutans. But also, we should talk about May is not just Masturbation Month. It's also dedicated to the Virgin Mary. Smiling and zombies.
All good things.
Yes.
I am with all of those things. So, I really thought that recreational sex is what separated us from the animals. That and putting ice in our drinks.
I think it's just down to ice in the drinks.
Not so much. So, let's stick with the human species for a moment. We're talking about pornography for women and how women respond to pornography. I think that since pornography has been so prevalent on the internet, there's so much of it, women are coming to it now. It's
The men in pornography have gotten better looking, too.
Yes. I'm really frustrated when people just talk about, like, oh, blah, 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 Ron Jeremy. And it's like, Ron Jeremy, he does still work kind of just because he's a name, but he's not in that much. And the men who work now, even if they don't have, like, the best faces, they pretty much all have super cut bodies. And some of them are, like, really, really gorgeous men.
The guys look good. Peter North and that crew, all these cut sort of dudes. I mean, you know, I mean, they're sort of it like gay soap opera stars. But isn't that what you all go for?
Yeah. We go for love, as long as there's a love storyline. And I know that the female heroine is going to end up getting married and, you know, having babies at the end. That's the kind of pornography.
That's what I've always been taught. Al Goldstein, one of my mentors, always told me that that's the difference between men and women, that women always thought around the next corner was a knight on a white horse who's going to come, you know, take them off to the castle and fall in love, while men think there is a bunch of stewardesses around the next corner waiting to fillet them.
Well, I personally prefer cream pie porn because that's how I know a baby is getting made.
I feel like such a prude because I never even heard that term, although it doesn't really need to be defined.
You know, I don't think it came to a shock, well, not to me anyway, but to anyone, that Osama bin Laden had a big cache of pornography. And once again, props to the New York Post for the best headline of the day, Osama bin Wanker.
Although I was told, actually, they stole that from The Daily.
Yeah, well, the great thing about the New York Post is, of course, is that here they have that on the cover, and then, like, 2 pages into the thing, you have Andrea Pizer, the most sourpussed woman of all time, the woman who's always wrong, who hates all things about sex, hates gays, hates Muslims, but there it is on the cover of Samba. And then, of course, in the Sunday paper in the back page is the advice column by Ashley the Hooker.
Is she still doing that?
Still doing it, and still advising you how to buy sex toys and how to get into a threesome and, you know, how you know your roommate's gay. It's, That's the Post. That Work at both sides of the street.
But I actually kind of like Jihad On better than Osama bin Wanken. I thought that was, it took me a second. Like, Osama's got a Jihad On? Hey.
It's like some next level shit. Lux, so you're editor of Fleshbot, and obviously you have a large woman audience. How do you feel that women are responding to pornography now, say, versus, you know, a few years ago?
I mean, I hate to pull out this line because I think it gets used a lot, but anecdotally, because I haven't done a peer-reviewed study on this, I tend to think that women are more fluid in terms of what they're interested in. Straight, in quotes, because a lot of what gets categorized as straight porn is not technically heterosexual, and gay, on our site, and we give people the option to see all of it or filter out. And if ever we have a tech problem where the filters break, I get tons of angry emails from men who have been forced to look at something that, God forbid, they see. And women, you know, some women will be pissed if they can't see one thing or they can't completely design the site to their own specifications. But what I find interesting is that women, even straight identified women, don't tend to have one thing they want to see in the way that men, gay or straight, often do. I know a lot of heterosexual identified women who are not interested in having sex with other women, who really like looking at lesbian porn or really like looking at naked women. I know lesbians who like gay porn. I know heterosexual women who like gay porn. I know heterosexual women who like straight porn but like looking at the women in it. I think just for women, what you want to see and what you get turned on by as a fantasy doesn't necessarily correlate in the same way as it does for men to what you want to do in real life, which I find really interesting.
Well, men are way ahead of the curve in terms of looking at pornography, and I think that's where the niches come from. The way the rest of the world goes, it sort of segments itself.
But also, if somebody calls me a dyke, I don't care. But if somebody calls most straight guys gay, they get all wound up. And I think that they get paranoid looking at gay porn or something, that they might get turned on, so it's scarier.
Yeah, and yet, every straight porno, I mean, there's the behind the scrotum shot that seems to dominate the action. It's pretty awful, actually. What I was going to say about people finding fetishes and specialties and things. It's because men have been looking at porn for 30 years. And after 30 years, they're sort of figuring out that, oh, I need to see a woman with shiny heels, smoking a cigarette, wearing rhinestone glasses.
But, I mean, it's not even just about fetishes. It's just like if straight men see gay porn, they freak out. Not all of them. There's a lot of chill men. But there's a more, like, even liberal, cool guys will freak out if they're exposed.
There's definitely a lot of homophobia around straight male porn fans. But what I was referring to is the sort of everybody wanting specialty sites and being able to type into the search engine anything very specific, you know, from a woman's height and weight, hair color to specific, you know, frightfully specific activities that they're involved in and come up with that. And if women are just beginning to explore pornography because of its sudden availability on the internet, they're not really there yet. They're sort of taking in the big picture.
I don't know. I mean, I think some women have very specific desires. It just depends on the woman.
Do you watch pornography outside of work?
Occasionally, yeah. I was never... One of the reasons why I think I'm kind of ideal for my job is that I always liked pornography, but I was never a huge porn consumer. I mean, I had worked in like indie porn, and I was always interested in it, and I liked it. But it was never a really large part of my personal life. And so I haven't been like, no part of my life has been ruined by the fact that I now work on it and write about it a lot. And I still enjoy it and I know what's good and I can watch it. And I also don't watch, even for work, don't watch as much as people think. I actually in my bag now have something I've been meaning to watch for a few days now, which is the Star Trek The Next Generation porn, which is supposed to be really, really good.
Party at your house.
My boyfriend's not here because he would fight you for that.
Party at your house. How do you feel when your boyfriends and male paramours are watching porn, pornography? And I mean consuming it and using it. And
I don't care.
I don't care. It's good. You guys are healthy women. Healthy women here.
Well, unless it was like something that I deemed really twisted, like anal rape fantasies, like that would kind of bug me.
It depends on where it's coming from. Like, I'm not bothered by someone watching porn provided our relationship is healthy. If they're using porn as a substitute or if they're using porn to avoid me, that's different.
Yeah.
I don't really have a problem with, I mean, I know people who I think are very healthy, wonderful people who will look up horse porn and stuff like that. And, like, I find that bizarre.
But an exclusive love of horse porn?
If that's the thing. Yeah. Like, I think even, like, being interested in really twisted stuff as a fantasy or out of curiosity, I don't have a problem with. But if it's, like, the only thing that you can get off on to the exclusion of any kind of healthy interaction with someone, yes. It's just, I think the context matters a lot more than like, oh, someone watched horse porn.
So what's hot right now? What's the hot ticket in the porn world?
Parodies are still the main thing that's making
money. What are some of the funnier ones that you've seen lately? I think the last one I saw was Nail and Palin, so I'm a little bit behind the curve.
I think... I'm a little biased here because he's a good friend of mine, but I think the best ones currently being made are made by Leroy Myers. Mm-hmm. I've been told the Star Trek The Next Generation one is really good, although that's more serious.
Does it have a funny name?
No, it's just Star Trek The Next Generation.
Not even Star Trek The Next Penetration.
No. You know,
the first things I wrote for Screw Magazine was called The Captain's Log.
Katie Purvey does have a good name, and I heard that one was really good. It's also by Leroy Myers. What else? What other parodies?
Is anything going to top Edward Penis Fingers?
Probably not.
It was actually better than the original, which, you know, it doesn't always happen.
Katie Purvey is probably better than most Katy Perry songs. Yeah. So.
All right, what's left to do here in National Masturbation Month? How should people go out and celebrate or stay in and celebrate?
Well, I think, Mike, you should celebrate by going to buy yourself a sex toy. Lux has given you some good ideas.
Tenga flip hole.
Really? I can't get a freebie from Fleshbot. I'll report back on it. I promise to have a go. Have a
do you
go
really want to use sex toy?
No.
No, I mean, we
want a new one. I would.
No, they've sent us a lot of samples already. They've all been distributed among the male portions of my staff, so... I don't know if I can get another one.
What do you think is the best part of your job?
For me, it's getting connected to some really, really cool people. I think there's a lot of like sleazy, awful people in the porn industry, but the ones who are cool are really, really, really cool. And being able to be a part of that community is one of my favorite parts of my job.
And what's the downside?
What is the downside? I mean, sometimes it can be, yeah, the exposure to misogyny, I think, like having to read sites that are just like really disgusting, and just having to deal with that. And also having people assume that I'm a dude. Those are downsides.
Well, I guess the most famous other Lux that I could think of was Lux Interior.
Yeah. I mean, the one I know
is... And he was a guy, as his career went on, I mean, he got more and more further out. I mean, he started out wearing, PVC pants. By the time he was done, he was wearing a G-string and heels.
Yeah, I see. So that's not that masculine.
All right. There should be a National Lux Interior Month as well. Well, Lux, Outram, thank you very much for coming down. The first Mike and Judy show.
Yes, thank you so much.
How's that feeling for you, Judy McGuire?
Feels pretty good.
All right. I'm Mike Edison. That's the Mike and Judy show. Next week, we're going to be back with Handsome Dick Manitoba. Can you believe it? Once again, you've been listening to the Heritage Radio Network, the Mike and Judy show. Thank you all for listening. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.